Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
To Mo Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
Welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown, joined once again by the full crew. QB1, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
Another day in paradise with the gang.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wide receiver one, Miles Gorham, just finished up some delicious gazpacho. What's going on, my man?
You know, just filling that belly, you know, making Prince jealous was never fun.
And Saxy Prince, yeah, what's man. Going on, man? You made it safely back from Mankato.
I did. I just have to say, I haven't had too many days where I can really say I've had all fun all day long. And that was probably like the most fun I've had in a very, very long time. Spent a lot of time with the Reef, a lot of damn time with the Reef. And when people say a Reef never sleeps, I've seen it firsthand. This man probably slept all of 2 hours. He probably went to sleep around 2:30. I remember him rattling around, waking up at 4:30. He may have slept another 5 minutes and then went back to working. So this guy does not sleep at all.
That's crazy. So what you got lined up for us today? What's the question?
So I was thinking, you know, we're all grown folk now, but you know, let's take us back a little bit to our younger days, childhood days. What was one thing that freaked you out, scared you more than anything? And for me, my answer, I'm not gonna go with my mother because she's a very, very strong, beautiful woman. But my biggest fear growing up was actually, so my younger brother, he had a tendency to tattletale a lot. And I remember just constantly living in fear because I really loved playing like games and stuff, like video games, mobile platforms, as well as like, you know, the systems and stuff. And anytime I would act up, my brother would always, you know, kind of come up to me. He's just like, if you keep doing this or you keep bothering me, I'm going to tell mom. And then, you know, she would take away my video games and all that stuff. So my biggest fear was acting a fool because I didn't want to lose my video games.
Okay. So Yinka's biggest fear was snitching, which is kind of strange. It's like Yinka's biggest fear was snitching, but then he came on the pod to snitch on his brother for snitching on him when they were anyway, JR, what about you, man? What was the thing that scared you most when you were a kid?
I would probably say Halloween. I'm already not a big fan of Halloween, but like the whole mask and all the other costumes really freaked me out. I've never been a big fan of Halloween. So I would say Halloween costumes or Halloween mask kind of freaked me out when I was
okay. Young. All right. Miles, what about you, man?
Future Song must have really did a number on JR then.
Absolutely.
For me, I don't even know. Snakes are, I don't like snakes at all. So probably snakes. I think the older I've gotten, the more I hate heights. So maybe throw heights in there a little bit too, but for sure snakes.
That makes sense. And for me, I probably have to go with clowns. Clowns, just for whatever reason, I don't like them. And, I think it's probably because of all the birthday parties I had at like McDonald's when I was younger. Ronald McDonald clown freaked me out. And just since then, I don't get with the clowns. Not with it.
So you ain't gonna go see the new movie, It?
No, sir. No, sir. Don't really get down on the horror movies, period. But definitely not gonna go see a movie with a clown as the thing that's terrifying people.
I've never understood the fascination for a scary movie. I really don't get it.
I love scary movies, y'all.
Of course you do, Nicodemus.
I love scary movies.
Can't
I
do it. Wait,
you don't like Halloween or Halloween costumes, but scary movies do it for you, though?
It's when I was younger.
All right.
Okay, all right. Well, Saxy Prince, hope you're ready to go because you're going to be doing a lot of talk in this episode. You just came back from
this episode?
From Mankato. Yeah, this episode. Yeah, this episode. Right, we're going to switch it up and let you talk a little bit more this episode. So you just came back from Mankato. Kind of what were your big takeaways? What were the things that, you know, from the sidelines down there rubbing shoulders with greatness? What did you take away from the weekend? What was it like kicking it with all the guys? Yeah, give us your big takeaways and then the key things that you saw on the field.
Yeah, no, it was, like I said, it was a lot of fun. My first real experience, you know, just being on the sidelines, being around the players and whatnot, and having a chance to be aggressive and just, you know, ask players for interviews and stuff and have them, being able to pull them aside and just, you know, get into their minds a little bit more and just see where they're feeling, how their bodies are feeling, what they're focusing on, and how they're improving. Some of my big takeaways was I tried to see some of the players that I don't think maybe are getting a little bit as much attention, as well as pay attention to the players that obviously are getting more attention. One of my biggest takeaways were Bishop Sankey. I know that he was obviously the first he was the first running back taken, I think, in 2000, was it 2014, 2013 by Tennessee Titans. And he popped out to me so often. I constantly saw him getting into the secondary. I saw him making very decisive cuts. I don't know, just as his decision-making to me was very obvious every time he was handed the ball. So, I mean, if the Vikings are thinking and considering, you know, maybe taking another running, holding on to another running back or whatnot, Bishop Sankey would be a guy that I would definitely not be mad if they decided to keep him along.
So is that your big tip for anyone out there who plays preseason DFS that we need to get Bishop Sankey and all the lineups?
Yeah, I'm telling you, yeah, if it's not with the Vikings, I would not be surprised if a team who, you know, maybe has a star go down or maybe needs, you know, another depth guy, Bishop Sankey is going to be on. I believe Bishop Sankey will be on a 53-man roster, whether it be the Vikings or, you know, another team. So I keep eyes out, fantasy people, definitely pick him up. From everything I saw, he showed a lot to me.
Why are you shaking your head, JR?
Bishop Sankey is fool's gold, man. Fool's gold. He does this every year.
He might, but I, like I said, he just caught my eye, and I just could not help but just. I actually asked him for an interview, so I'll do a little write up about him a little bit later. But Trey Waynes, another guy. You know, Trey, with his inconsistencies that we still see, you know, not having the flexibility, the good rotation as far as the hips, all that stuff. That being said, I saw Trey step up more often than not. He's playing a lot faster. I saw him body Kyle Rudolph, like literally body Kyle Rudolph, which was actually very fun to watch. He's getting more and more comfortable with his role and recognizing plays. I saw him peel off his guy, pass him off to the safety as well, and then get digs in the flat and have a pass breakup. So I'm not saying Trey Waynes is at Xavier Rhodes status, but I definitely feel a little bit more comfortable having him being the other outside guy going into this year. I think he still has a ways to go, but I definitely feel a lot more comfortable as he will kind of progress throughout the year. Thankfully, we don't. Well, I don't know. I think teams will still test him, but I think I have more confidence that he's going to be on the right side of things than constantly getting burned. I didn't see him get as handsy. There was only one play where the ref was just like, "Hey, Trey, watch those hands." But otherwise, I definitely feel like Vikings fans should be a little bit more encouraged for what we're seeing out of Trey. I think this is something we all have finally wanted to see, an evolution of goal line offense. It wasn't just that we became a little bit more pass happy in the goal line, but I think the creativity of the run plays, it wasn't just the draw, put everybody around the ball type runs, but you obviously saw some empty backfield passes, as well as you saw some some shotgun runs, you saw some misdirection and whatnot. So I think the goal line offense is definitely evolving. It remains to be seen if that's going to translate into obviously scoring at a higher percentage. But I think, again, it's another area that I think Vikings fans should be a little bit more encouraged about, even though, the season hasn't started. So, you know, that will actually be the real test that we have going on. I'll give you guys a few more takes that I saw. Michael Floyd is the real deal. I saw him impress me.
Say it again.
Every time.
Say it again. One more time for Miles. I don't think he heard you.
My, Michael Floyd is the real deal.
Why? And, why is there a slight at me? Like, I'm not rooting against Michael Floyd.
I think. And me and Reef actually, we spent like most of the night talking about this. And honestly, if we were to put aside the suspension, and if we were to like truly evaluate all these wide receivers, you know, Treadwell, Diggs, Thielen, and stuff, and we are just like evaluating the top guys, in my opinion, Michael Floyd wouldn't just be competing for that third spot, that third or fourth spot. I think he would actually be competing maybe for that second spot. I think he would give Adam Thielen a run for his money. What we're seeing with him so consistently, I saw him make a pretty dive. It was like a diving adjusted catch where he sand threw a little bit behind him, and he was able to make the grab in between two defenders. Like he's constantly flashing, and I don't necessarily think we should be surprised at it. I just think that he's showing. Maybe some of that stuff that we were seeing peak Michael Floyd a little bit more so with this offense. And, and also don't count out my man Jarius Wright. I know that Andy Carlson, he's starting to get back on the hype train as far as Jarius. But Jarius, he's definitely fighting, not fighting for necessarily for a roster spot, but I think he's more fighting for, like, he shouldn't be counted off on that, you know, that third, fourth rotation guy. And I think a lot of people are maybe – putting him right into, he's probably that fifth guy or maybe that fringe wide receiver, but I don't think that's the case. There was enough times where I saw he was on some of the shots that we saw down the field. Jarius was actually one of the few guys that were consistently getting open, which is why Bradford targeted him more often than not.
Speaking of Sam Bradford, because I feel like we're going pretty deep into your list here for you to have not mentioned the starting quarterback who is receiving rave reviews across the twitter.com. How'd Sam look? Does it look like we're going to take some more shots downfield? Tell us about the offense. What'd it look like out there?
This is where I want to temper maybe some of the expectations around what people have seen. Now, don't get me wrong, when Sam has taken shots down the field, they have looked beautiful. It's probably one of the best I've seen Sam Bradford consistently throwing the ball down the field and being them like right in the breadbasket. I haven't seen too many overthrows or underthrows from him compared to some of the other quarterbacks that I was seeing more consistently, not necessarily put it on their man. Bradford's throwing the ball phenomenally down the field. But I think because of that, that is skewing people's interpretation with what's actually happening with the offense. I don't see Bradford taking those shots as often. I remember we went through majority of the night practice, actually, and I remember turning to a few of the beat guys, and I was like, hey, I haven't really seen too many deep shots so far. And they're like, yeah, that is a little bit concerning. And I chose not to tweet it out just because you say it, and then you know people kind of jump on it. So. And the reason why it also is a little bit more concerning too is even on some of those deep shots that we did see, you know, on Vikings.com and whatnot, there were some plays where, you know, Danielle Hunter was already in the backfield getting the strip sack. Tom Johnson was already penetrating, you know, Linval was. So some of those deep shots, again, you can't touch the quarterback. So Sam should be shining during this time. But that should be shining versus, you know, if you were to temper those expectations, I needed to see a little bit more than I did. I did see a lot more underneath stuff. I think his intermediate game has actually gotten a lot better. I've seen him with a lot more pocket manipulation. He's starting to be more comfortable moving the pocket as well as moving within the pocket. I don't think we're going to necessarily see the as many down the field shots as people think that we're going to do. Again, this is just training camp where quarterback can't get hit. So again, Sam wasn't getting hit on a lot of plays where he definitely would have gotten hit or would have at least been in pressure where he couldn't just, you know, sit back and, you know, deliver a dive.
All right. Well, that's enough out of you. I mean, you know,
so
can't have you talk for the entire pod. We got JR over here, you know, Miles looks like he's itching to go. So QB1, we'll start with you. Obviously, there's been a lot going on. A lot of interviews have happened. A lot of content out there about training camp. what are your takeaways so far? You know, it's game week. We actually going to be playing a different team on Thursday night. So what are your takeaways from what you've seen thus far, from what the coaches are saying, what Sam's saying, what the offense looks like, defense, just, yeah, what are your big takeaways thus far?
I mean, my biggest takeaway is the progression of Dalvin Cook. I mean, we talked about this a lot, just saying, can he supplant himself as the lead back? And the lead back role is kind of by default that he's one, not necessarily one, but overtaken the running back job from Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray. Latavius got back today, I believe, and Jerick McKinnon is slowly working his way back into the rotation after a little nagging injury. But, you know, I think it's Dalvin's job to lose. Right now he's way ahead of both of those guys as far as, you know, on the field reps and just reps within the offense. So I'm really looking forward to seeing Dalvin play on Thursday and how he reacts to the NFL speed of the game and if he can still do the things that he did at Florida State now that he's on an NFL field. And also, I think the development of Rashad Hill, that's something I'm really looking forward to seeing on Thursday as well, just seeing different guys lined up in front of him and can he build off that success from that impressive Week 17 showing against the Bears. I think he got hurt in the scrimmage the other night. Nika was there, so we really didn't get a great look at him necessarily. So hopefully he'll be healthy enough to play in that game on Thursday. If not, you know, we'll get to see him. Hopefully we'll get to see him throughout the preseason. And, you know, Sam Bradford, of course, that's always the one guy everybody's, you know, keying in on, so to speak, during this training camp and preseason. But, I mean, nothing Sam Bradford does in any scrimmage, training camp, or anything really matters to me. What he does on during the season is what really matters most to me. I mean, Sam's going to look good in practice and scrimmages. He's done that every year. If you guys remember the Green Bay preseason game last year when he was with the Eagles, you know, his stock soared after that game. So he's a guy that's always going to look good in preseason and training camp and practices. I really want to see what he does in season.
And Miles, how about yourself, man? I know you've been following along on everything, every video, every interview. What are your big takeaways thus far? What are you feeling about the direction the team's going with everything that you've read and that you've kept up with about training camp?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think the team's really, they've come to play. I know they're kind of ready to kind of show that the first five games last year wasn't a fluke and that this is a legit team. You've already seen a couple guys like Tom Johnson and I'm not sure who else on defense, but they've pretty much called themselves the best defense in the league. And I think they're itching to kind of show why they are. It's exciting stuff. I can't wait to start seeing it on Thursday. But to kind of go with it, some of the guys that, you know, we're kind of hearing about that I think I'm kind of surprised that we're hearing about doing good things are guys like under the radar guys like Tom Johnson, yeah, because he's the starting three tech. But Shamar Stephen, I think Shamar Stephen's everything I've heard so far has been pretty positive about what he's done in training camp. He's holding off that number two nose tackle job behind Linval really well against guys like Jaleel Johnson. So good for him. I've always been a Shamar Stephen fan, especially when he's limited in the amount of snaps he plays. He's more effective that way because he's a bigger guy. So he's not one of those guys that can play every down. So I think he can do well and be a good rotational guy in there. And another guy that I think who's really surprised me a lot, the converted wide receiver to DB. He's from everything I've heard and read, looks like he's doing really well, and that's always good to see. You know, I'm not sure if he'll make the team. That's a really tough transition to kind of see how he does in the games, but it looks like during practice he's really starting to find his groove. So really good to see that. And then kind of just hearing the resurgence a little bit of Anthony Barr from Coach Zimmer, that's really exciting to hear because he's a guy that's a really important cog to this defense. And, you know, as much as, you know, we've on Twitter and everything like that, we've all talked about, you know, if the Vikings had to kind of move on from one guy, he'd potentially be that guy out of that core group of guys. But I kind of hope he's not. I kind of hope he earns his contract and can find a way to, you know, get that contract extension. You know, I know that position he's at earns a lot of money in contracts, but I definitely think if he's at 100%, he could be worth some of that money because just 2 years ago he was lights out and phenomenal. So he's another guy that I'm excited to kind of see heading into the season.
That's awesome. You guys both kind of gave us a perfect segue there because obviously this is game week and the guys are going to be going against another team. I guess we'll start Yinka. Who are you most excited to see in the Buffalo game?
Well, I was. I know that JR had mentioned Rashad Hill and whatnot. He actually looked very, very good up until the injury. And he's a guy that I do really want the Vikings to kind of hold on to. He could potentially be your left tackle of the future, or at least a depth guy where you keep him on the roster because he is that good. So I was excited to see him, but we might not see him obviously this Thursday. I think the guy, I mean, I've mentioned him obviously a few times now, is Bishop Sankey. I'm really excited to see what he does with his. He is going to get a lot of opportunity on Thursday, and I want to see him, kind of assert that, not just for the Vikings, but teams around the league, like he can still play. But like JR said, he has to do more than just, show up during preseason. He's going to have to show up during the season. So my vote is definitely Bishop.
Miles, how about you, man? Which players are you most excited to see on Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, the obvious choice is always the guys that you've kind of never really seen, play an NFL game or play for, the Vikings. I think guys like – I'm kind of excited to see guys like Ben Gideon. I want to kind of see where they're lining him up right away, because he's kind of been taking reps at middle linebacker and strong side, or weak side. That's another one. That's a guy for sure for me, obviously all the rookies. But one of the veterans, a new guy that I'm excited to see is Michael Remmers. I know he's had an up and down camp. I want to see how he does against other defenses and other players. So he's another guy I really want to see how he performs and see if he can kind of put it all together. And then of course my Mr. Mankato pick, RJ Shelton. I want to see if he plays this week. I don't even know if he'll get an opportunity or not, but he's my guy that I really would love to see get an opportunity and just kind of see how he does in a game.
He is very, very far down that depth chart, Miles. probably.
I know, but he's ahead of Mobo.
Above Mobo. Like, yeah, he's second to last right now. So.
Hey, he wasn't drafted, and he's ahead of Mobo. Shot. So, hey, he's one right there.
Yeah, Miles with the gratuitous shot on Mobo.
Miles, you would be ahead of Mobo on this depth chart.
Mobo's the people's champ.
And how about you, QB1?
Which people? Who are you
looking forward to seeing?
Right? Who? What people?
Okay, guys, I think we know which people, and we don't need to go there right now. JR, who are you looking forward to seeing in Thursday's game?
Being a quarterback guy, I'm going to be focusing on Taylor Heinicke. We haven't seen him play since 2015. It's been a while. Everybody knows he had the surgery last year with his foot or his ankle kicking through a glass door or whatever the incident that actually happened. So I'm really interested to see how he adjusts to being back in actual games and just how well he plays. And does he outshine Case Keenum? And who actually wins that QB2 spot? And I think with a good preseason showing, Heinicke can separate himself in this race because it seems as if they're still splitting reps at this point in camp. So, and there really isn't a person that separated themselves so far. And Zimmer has been quoted as saying that they're going to use the preseason games to determine the battle at the QB2 spot. So Taylor Heinicke is a guy that I really be focusing on.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. For myself, I'm gonna be looking to see what Dayton Jones does. A lot of hype when he was signed, and I think I've maybe seen one sentence written about him by anyone since training camp started, and that was in one of her Reese notebooks. I don't know, Prince, did you see Dayton Jones do anything when you were there? Because it doesn't seem like he's really been doing too much. Tom Johnson seems to be clearly ahead of him, so I'll be interested to see if he's able to make an impact of any kind.
Yeah, that was actually one of the questions that I asked multiple of the beat writers. I'm like, hey, I really haven't really heard Dayton Jones' name very often. I mean, he has been working with the ones, and I think it might have been a rotational guy with some twos and stuff. But everything Arif had told me said that he was doing his job. He's looked okay. The only issue that I was having is I just didn't want him to kind of blend in. I wanted him to kind of I wanted him to stand out a little bit more than he has been. So I don't want to hit the panic button on Dayton Jones, but he doesn't, in my opinion, he doesn't quite look as comfortable at three technique as maybe we thought he was going to. Maybe we'll see something a little bit different with what they do as far as rotation. Maybe they use him a little bit more defensive end. I do definitely feel like this defensive line is stacked. So if he's not performing at a very high level, I don't think it's going to be a huge blow to the Vikings. But I do want to see him, kind of perform a little bit higher than he has been, and from what I saw at training camp.
Perfect. So I guess my pick there makes sense. And then the other thing I'm going to be looking at, especially after the depth chart came out, was be looking at that depth at right tackle in general, the depth, and then also just the secondary to see which guys are out there playing later in the game, just to try to get a sense of where we're at with that. Because yeah, it's still nerve-wracking looking at the lack of experience, I guess we'll say, once you get past, you know, Terrence Newman, Xavier Rhodes, and then the lack of depth that we would feel comfortable having guys out there playing. So those are the things that I'll be looking at probably later in the game when it's the third and fourth string guys going. Miles, what's up?
Yeah, just to piggyback off the defensive back stuff, you know, even though he got into a scrap of my guy, Anton Exum, I've heard, you know, we've heard really good things about him playing in the nickel role behind Mackenzie Alexander. So I'm excited to see how he does in the games and see if that kind of converts into games. Also, a couple of those other guys, you know, I want to see like a Jack Tocho, and kind of heard, I had a kind of talked to Reef the other day about Terrence Newman and just kind of how he hasn't really looked all that good so far in camp. And I'm just wondering if it's just more of him taking kind of the easy road through camp, just because, you know, he doesn't really need to at this point, you know, use that, you know, that word practice. But like in all reality, he kind of, you know, he knows what he needs to do. And kind of just, I'm just curious to see if it's him falling off a little bit, or if it's just more of him just kind of coasting through training camp. So I'm just kind of curious to see how that goes and how much, because I really don't expect a lot of reps from him in games anyways, especially in the preseason, because he's a guy I know that they'd want to keep healthy for the season.
Miles, with that, I don't think the issue with Terrence Newman is that he's looked bad per se. It's just that for where he left off last year, I think the expectation was that he would at least get somewhere, say it, to kind of maintain closer to what he was at. And I think
right.
The drop off has been, I think, you know, if Terrence Newman 2016 was God Newman, he's kind of become mortalized a little bit more this season.
Yeah.
Or and at least so far.
Right. And I kind of just think, personally, I honestly think it could just be some of him just, you know, they're just telling him to kind of take it easy. Again, he's played so well throughout the last few years of his career. He's at, well, he's almost, what, 39? Like, there's no need for me, at least from my viewpoint, for him to have to go all out during training camp practice, because the guy's going to – he just needs to be in shape and be ready to go for the season. Just get to the season healthy is the most important part.
Having Trey Waynes definitely more asserting himself as that outside corner, I think that's what's led to Terrence being able to, you know, take a little bit more of a breather and maybe not be in the most peak shape that he was probably in last season. So I think it's a good thing to have Trey Waynes kind of – I mean, you can even think about it as like Terrence Newman not being what he was at last year kind of forces Trey Waynes to step up even more so. So I just hope we don't have to be in a position where Xavier goes down and then, you know, Terrence Newman is still not at where we would want him to be, and now our secondary is hurting a lot. So,
well, all right. I think that's most of what we wanted to cover tonight. What you guys got on deck for us? Prince, I know that you have quite a bit of writing still left to do. You got some great interviews there. What do you have coming for us here in the coming week?
Yeah, I have a lot to actually get through. I got interviews with our man Dumuchin, Bucky Hodges. He was a very cool guy. I stopped for the interview. I got him. Very first interview was actually Jarius Wright. I was surprised I got Eric Kendricks as well. I did a mini interview with Bishop Sankey, and then I got a non kind of football related, you know, brief snippet with Teddy Bridgewater. So I'm kind of going to weave that together through a story that we have coming up, and, you know, a lot of stuff, a lot of content coming out in the next week. So definitely look out for that.
You mean we made it all the way through this episode and you're just now letting us know there's going to be a Teddy interview coming up?
It was brief. I don't want to like ramp it up too much, but I mean, I did appreciate that, you know, he was obviously signing autographs and he wasn't really doing interviews. So I know that the first thing a lot of these people want to do is like, hey, I want to talk to you about football. But, you know, I still know that these guys are human beings, too. So, you know, wanting to chat about a few other things is sometimes stuff that they would rather talk about. So
you tell him about my dog. Is that what it was?
I did not, because I did not want him to run very, very fast away from me.
Well, all right, JR, you got anything on deck for us? I know that you're going to be making a guest appearance on, is it on Andy's podcast tomorrow? Anything else going on with you this week?
Nah, just banging out the database for 2018 draft prospects and adding guys to it every day. So hopefully I can get it up to about 200. That's the plan. And release it to the Wolves during draft time. Let you guys see my actual draft board. And, you know, just let everybody dive into it and dig it apart. Hopefully people don't kill me too bad 2 years down the road.
No, that's definitely happening. You're definitely getting killed for not getting that 6th round pick right.
Right.
Miles, what about yourself, man?
I think I'm gonna do a little write up after the first game. I know Tyler is gonna help us out and do some of that after the Vikings Buffalo game. I think I'm gonna do a little write up to kind of more to focus on the offense, kind of see how they perform and just see who plays and who does what.
Awesome, and we have a couple other pieces that'll be dropping for you guys at Climbing the Pocket as well. So definitely check those out if you haven't already done so. Hit us off with a review, give us a nice rating. Say some nice stuff about us. But that's really all we got for you. The music is probably playing already. So thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. And y'all have a good one. Talk to you soon.